Good morning. It's a Friday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Chartok. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, David. I take it that you're getting along in the cold as you get up in the dink and the dank in the morning and make your way here so that we can all rely on you for the news.
Well, I have my WMC hat and gloves, and I'm all decked out for winter for sure to keep warm. Hopefully you will all, too, as you head into work this morning. Well, we have the Attorney General William Barr saying that President Trump's criticisms of handling his friend Roger Stone's sentencing undermine the legal system. I'm not going to be bullied or influenced by anybody, he said, publicly challenging Mr. Trump. And this was all over the tweeting that was going on.
Well, you know, it's amazing. The cable news networks all made big stuff out of Barr, saying some things about Trump not allowing him to do his job. And yet, David, Barr has, we have seen right from the beginning, been obsequious when it comes to the president. So something's going on here. First thing I thought of is, uh-oh, you know, this president likes to fire people. You're fired. And maybe Barr felt that the Red Reaper is coming for him and wanted to get out in front of it. That's a possibility. Another possibility, of course, is that the spirit of the Justice Department is so low that everybody wants to get out, or that he's hearing that people want to get out and that he's tried to head that off at the pass. But it doesn't sound right for a guy who's basically done whatever the president has asked him to do and has gotten tremendous criticism for that. So I'm thinking there's a lot more here than meets the eye, and we're going to soon see about it. We do see that Mitch McConnell is coming in now and is suggesting that Barr is right. Now, I can only say that when McConnell and Barr team up against the president, you got to figure something is up that we might not know about right now, but we will.
Yesterday, the meeting between Governor Cuomo and President Trump occurred, but before the meeting, the president was tweeting about it, saying, I'm seeing Governor Cuomo today at the White House. He must understand that national security far exceeds politics. New York must stop all of its unnecessary lawsuits and harassment, start cleaning itself up and lowering taxes. Build relationships, but don't bring Fredo, he said.
Well, as you know, Fredo is what got the whole thing going the last time, and both Chris Cuomo and the governor were highly insulted by that reference to The Godfather. When he said, don't bring Fredo, is just a way of getting a burr under the governor's saddle, if he was riding a horse, that is. So both men did what they were supposed to do. Cuomo was supposed to ask the president for some help in changing his mind and allowing for commerce to continue at the Canadian border and other places, of course. And the president, for whatever reason, decided he would let him come, but he would insult him. And insult him he did. When I asked the governor on the program, David, as you remember, whether or not he thought that the president would give in, he basically said no, and he said it again yesterday. He wasn't expecting much, and I'm sure he got nothing.
The issue of the temperatures on the Earth, just heard it on the BBC this morning, and these are Brazilian scientists. They have recorded at Seymour Island on the 9th of February the hottest temperature, 20 degrees Celsius, for the first time in the historical record. They themselves, as the BBC put it, were shocked.
Well, it is shocking, and we are the ostriches, and we have our heads in the sand. We all understand this is a terrible, terrible thing. We are basically destroying ourselves, and we have a president who is basically a climate denier, and it just keeps getting worse. We have to move from the everybody understands it to the, okay, we got to do something about it. Now we're going to have a presidential election that could help change the way in which this country acts when it comes to climate change. But there are many people who think that this president will win again. And if he does, we'll just continue down this road.
The attacks have begun against Michael Bloomberg, stepped up, rather. Democratic presidential candidates hoping to revive their flagging campaigns, taking aim at Bloomberg. They're accusing the billionaire rival of trying to buy his way into the White House and raise questions about his commitment to racial equality. Elizabeth Warren and Joe Biden took the lead as they struggled to recover from poor showings in the Iowa caucuses and the New Hampshire primary. Well, this is how the game works, right, Alan?
That's right. As soon as somebody gets up to the top, one of his rivals will try to tear him down. You know, Bloomberg is a brilliant man. He didn't make all that money by not knowing what he was doing. When he put Barack Obama on one of those ads, and, you know, basically it's all Obama. Now, you got to figure that if Obama didn't like it, he would say to Bloomberg, take it down. But he hasn't. I have a feeling that Obama may know, the same way that we all do, the most important thing is getting rid of Trump, and he feels that Bloomberg may be the guy. It's interesting because all Obama had to do was say, I didn't authorize that to happen right now. So to me, they can yell all they want about racial this or that, but if they've got Barack Obama on the screen day in and day out talking about what a good man Bloomberg is, it's hard to believe that it's going to get anywhere.
There was a picture moving on social media, Alan, of the CEO of Cyber Ventures was on a plane sitting in first class, behind him Bernie Sanders, and he took a photo of it. And Bernie sort of looks off guard as the photo is taken. And of course, then come the trolls and an issue that could prove some vulnerability that despite the Democratic Socialists' mantra, he's a millionaire.
Well, sure, he is. Look, Bernie Sanders is a very interesting and decent guy. You know, he deserves a lot of praise for presenting his views to the American people. And whether he wins or not is another whole story. But this is cheap stuff. So he's flying first class. When you are a candidate and doing what he's doing and putting all this energy into it, you deserve a few perks.
Our political observer, Alan Shartok. Everyone have a great weekend. Hopefully you celebrate Valentine's Day or Galentine's Day. Thank you, Alan.
Thank you, David.